Yes, I have to admit, I know there's no air conditioning it, and we'll make it, but I hate the heat. Anybody who knows me, I love it 35, 40. I'll take nice and cool every day. So that's why strategically in August, I plan to go to San Francisco. Why? It's the coolest city in America. It's like it's 70 and 50 at night, and then I'm going to Portland, Oregon, which is warm, but there's very little humidity. So I'm just excited about that. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for you, and just thank you for your love for us and your grace. And I'm excited for what you have for us, Lord. I'm speaking because I'm weak in this area, Lord, and I'm the number one person that you're working in, but we all need to hear about this, Father. Open our hearts and minds to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thursday morning, I usually try to spend some time with God in the morning, and Thursday morning, I went to sit down and pray, and I just broke down. I started crying profusely. I haven't cried like that in years. And, you know, I wanted to stay home. I had to go to work. This was decision day for me. The decision was, as some of you know, I've been looking to purchase my first home, co-op or condo, for a while. And there was a potential, an accepted offer, but I didn't put down the money, the down payment. I didn't sign the contract yet. But I was supposed to see the lawyer that day at 1 o'clock. And I was scared. I won't say the other word. So I went on a train, went to work, started involved in projects, and I'm saying, you know, I'm going to call the lawyer later and cancel out and tell the broker because I can't take this. I'm going nuts. People came over, talked to me, and then it was like 11:30, 12 o'clock. I had to be there in an hour on Madison Avenue. I picked up the phone to start to call the lawyer and cancel it. Somebody came over, Darryl, I need to ask you about this project. So I put the phone down, helped them. Went back to work. It's 12:30. Went to the bathroom. Came back. It's 12:45. I'm supposed to be there at 1 o'clock. I'm sitting down working. It's 10:01. I got my jacket on. I got my bag. I went in the elevator. Started walking up the street. I said, this is crazy. I'm going to go back and call him. I'm not going to do this because I really don't feel emotionally right about this. Walked up to Park, Madison. Across the street was a lawyer's office. I said, I'm not crossing the street. I crossed the street. It was 1 o'clock. I stood in front of the office for a couple of minutes. I said, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to tell him I just wanted to say hi, see your face, and I'm not signing this. So I went up there, and I'm sitting down. His office is all messed, papers all over the place. No secretary, no nothing. How you doing? He's talking about the new place. Oh, we got to do this, that. And I'm petrified. And he showed me the contract and the down payment, and this is what we have to do, and it's a great building. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at the contract, and he's looking at me. So I'm like, and I was going to tell him, this is all, and I got the pen and I signed it like that. That was the decision I made. The week before, a good friend of mine had seen the place with me, and he liked it. And he said, Darryl, I really think this is going to be a good place for you. I know you're nervous about the down payment and the mortgage. You've never done this, but I believe it's the right place for you. But the thing I'm concerned about is your emotions. I said, what do you mean? You've lived in a couple places in Astoria for a good part of your life. You're used to it. You like it. That's your status quo. You like what you know. You don't like a lot of change in your life. You don't like a lot of new things in your life. You want to stay where you are, and that's okay, but sometimes it's good to make a change, and that's what I'm concerned. Plus, you tend to be a reminiscer. You think about the past and everything that happened. We lived there and some good and bad moments, and it's going to be something you're going to have to get over, but I believe in the long term, it's of God. It's going to be good for you, but it's going to require adjustment period. Let me give you a little background about myself. My mother, this was a second marriage to my father. He left her. They separated when I was 4 years old. My mom had mentally challenged and out of hospital, schizophrenia. My father got into gambling trouble. There were fights. I would see her during the week. She would wake up in the middle of the night cursing, you know, talking to voices. She'd be cursing my father out. I go there on the weekend. He was living with a woman. They would have fights. I was tossed around like a salad in between for 13 years, back and forth, back and forth. No stability. No structure, little family. And that's what I long for. I grew up longing for stability, for structure, for something I can hold on to, something I don't want change. I want the status quo. Leave me alone. And I also have this tendency to reminisce a lot about the past, about the good times, about past. And that's good, but sometimes I do it too much. Okay, so let's put our verses up. Okay, we have two verses. We have one Old Testament, Isaiah, and one in New Testament in Matthew, and I'll read them, okay? Isaiah chapter 43. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Okay, can we put up the Matthew verse? Okay. This is Matthew chapter 9. No one sews a patch of untrod cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Before we go on, I'm going to have a lot of examples for you from my life, and I'm going to throw out things because I really think God has some stuff for us, but I think it's good to be practical. I love to take the Bible and make it practical with our lives. But before I do that, I want to give a background on these verses, the context. I'm not a theologian, but I did some studying, and basically this is what I came up with. See, in Isaiah was a prophet, and he spoke about a lot about in the Old Testament the need to repent, but he also prophesied that there's going to be a coming Messiah, Jesus, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. And Isaiah says, in the verses we read, it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. When it says forget the former thing Isaiah was talking about was, remember, God gave a great deliverance to Israel, right? They were in bondage with Egypt, Pharaoh, and he set them free, the Red Sea, the Promised Land, and it was a great occurrence, a great deliverance. And that was in their past, and that's part of their history. But and what Isaiah was saying is when it says forget the former thing, right? It's not saying to get it out of your mind completely. You can't erase it. It's so much a part of your life. It's going to be part of you. But forget the past means keep it in your mind, but don't let it get a hold on you. Don't let it determine what's going to happen in the future to you. It is part of your life, part of who you are, but it shouldn't determine how you're going to what's going to go on in the future. Now, when we say former in Isaiah, it may mean something that happened in the past or in our personal life, something that we did in the past, but it could also mean something that we did in the past that's still part of our life right now, okay? Remember that. And then when he's saying, when God says to Isaiah, see, I do a new thing, the new thing is Jesus. He's going to say, listen, you had this great deliverance in the past, this great salvation from Pharaoh, from Egypt, but now I have a spiritual salvation coming in the future. I'm going to send my son to die for you, to save you from your sins, be resurrected, and you're going to have a new life in him, and that's the new wine I'm talking about. It's going to be much better, this deliverance that you experienced in the past, Israel, okay? So in the past, we had certain things that were special to us, but God's saying, you know what? Hold them, think about them, but don't let them determine your future, okay? Now in Matthew, Jesus was talking to the crowds. He's talking about the old wineskins and the new wine. And when he's talking about the old wineskins, he meant the religious rulers, the Pharisees. And what they were doing, they had a certain system in place. They had a certain way of doing things, control the people. They would, let's follow all 600 commandments, which they couldn't. Let's keep the Sabbath, the tithes, and show how good we are. They were trying to earn their own self-righteousness before God. They had a system in place that they liked. They want to say, see how good we are? And then when the new wineskin Jesus was talking about was him. He's the bread of life. He's the new wine. So instead of relying on your own self for your salvation, I'm coming. I'm going to pay the price for you. I'm going to pay for your sin. I'm going to pay for your mistakes. And your salvation is based on what I do for you, not any performance. You don't have to worry about it anymore. So that's the new wine that we're talking about. And what Jesus is saying is you can't take the new wine and put in the old wineskin. Let me give you a practical example of what that means. It's going to break. I'm a Ranger hockey fan, okay? And 2 years ago, they made the playoffs. They almost went to the championship. They lost. They had an old system. A system in place was very good, but it was like the old thing, the old system. This year, they wanted to make it to the next level, so they brought in some new players, okay? And one particular player was a superstar, and he had a certain way of playing, right? And what happened was the coach was trying to get him and the other new players to function in the old system. He kept doing it, and guess what? It didn't work. They couldn't do it, and they got knocked out of the playoffs, and he got fired. So that's a practical example of what I mean by when Jesus, God saying, listen, I have something new for you. I want you to make a change in your relationships, in your life, in your job, in my walk with you. Get rid of bad habits. You can't, you're going to say yes to me, but you can't go back and stick to your old ways. It's not going to work. Okay? I want to say this. The Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change, right? His character doesn't change. He's our stability. I know I get emotionally unstable, but God is my stability. However, at the same time, he's moving. Even though he's the same, his character doesn't change, he's moving in the world. He's moving in the church. He's moving in our lives. And what he wants us to do is he's inviting us to go with him in the new things he's doing in our life. Now, stability and structure, which I like, is good. It's good to have in our life. We need it. But if we don't allow some new things in our life from God or just new things in general, we're going to become stagnant. We're not going to grow. I read a Facebook quote my cousin put up. It said, look around you. Everything changes. Everything on this earth is a continuous state of evolving, refining, adapting, improving, enhancing, changing. You are not put on this earth to remain stagnant. See, I don't like the new. I tend to like the old. I like the status quo. I want to stay put. Even if it means that God has something good for me or there's something new out there, sometimes I stay with the old because I'm used to it. I don't like change. And I think a lot of us struggle with it. It's just not me. I think I'm probably the biggest one, but there's a lot of us who do struggle. Do you have that handout? Do we need to pass it out? Does everybody have it? Okay, cool. So I've listed three things for us. And basically what this is I came up with, see, God wants to do some new things in our life, but we tend to impede it. And I like to call them, there are three syndromes that I come up with that pretty much prevent us from moving on to the things God has for us. So let's read them together. A, stuck in the past, can't forget the former. Past has some hold on us. I call it the time warp syndrome, or those were the good days syndrome. B, those of us who do not like change, we do not like a lot of variation. We're overly comfortable with the status quo. Do not upset the apple cart syndrome. And that's me, okay? A and B apply to me. C, those of us, we have certain things in our life or certain ways of operating or relating to others, or we greatly aspire to have them. We place a greater premium on those things than the new things God may have for us or the places he wants to take us. I call that the I want what I want syndrome. You know, in my old church, I would help lead groups. I was teaching, doing different things, and studying the Bible, and reading, and counseling people, and teaching, and, you know, speaking their lives. And my pastor would get together with me every once in a while to see how I'm doing. And he would say, so, Darrell, what is God speaking to you? What new thing is he doing in your life? What area of his life is he asking you to give up the old and go on with something new? Where is he asking you to make the change? And I like looked at him like he had three heads, like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? New thing, God changing. See, I couldn't come up with myself. When we read Isaiah, it says, do you not perceive what I'm doing? I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive? That's a key word for us, perceive. You see, are we perceiving what God's doing in our life? He's working. Are our spiritual antennas up? Are we looking? Are we expecting him to come to us, invite him to make some changes? You mean here in church? Yeah. You mean in our home groups? Yeah. But at the gym, at the job, when we're walking around, at homes, when we're getting together with people, even watching TV programs. Oh, you mean Joel Osteen or something like that? Not necessarily. It could be a good secular program. He could speak through music. He could speak any way he wants. Are we open to the way God's coming to us? Because if not, we're going to miss it, especially if he has something new. And you know what? Maybe someone like me does not want to perceive it, because if I have to perceive it, then I'm supposed to take action the way God wants me to, and I don't want to, right? Let's go to a few examples in this life of how this worked out, this new thing, the old, the new. I know a fellow business guy, and he used to go to a dentist in the city. Good dentist. He'd go there for years. Suddenly, one year, the dentist started doing things which were okay, but were not needed, cosmetics, everything like that. He asked him a couple of questions. The patient didn't say anything. Second year, the dentist did the same thing, gave him stuff he didn't really need, which was good. Wound up costing $900. Finally, he went to a new dentist, and he got good treatment for less money. You know, every couple of months, I look in the mirror and say, Darrell, you were really stupid back then. Why didn't you go to the New Testament earlier? Why, dentist? Because I like the status quo. I don't like change. Even if something may not be beneficial with it, I stick to it too long. And we do that with doctors. We do it with relationships. We do it in a lot of areas. You know, somebody working in a company for 6 years, right? It's okay to go to work. They haven't had a raise in 6 years. They haven't had a promotion. There's no chance for growth there. Somebody says, why don't you think about applying for another job in another department? Oh, no, I can't do that. What do you think about maybe going to another company and working in a similar position? Oh, no, I can't do that. What about a new career? Oh, I can't do that. Why? They don't want to go on with the new, even if it's better for them. They want to stay where they are put because they don't like change. They're afraid. They like the former. They like to stay put. But God may be given opportunities for them. And they say, how come God never opened up his doors for me? He is. But we don't want to see it because we want to stay put, you see. It's a woman in my old church, a great woman, a prayer warrior, loved the Lord. She was there for 9-10 years. She liked the church, and I spoke to her once, and I said, how's everything? She says, oh, everything is good. She says, I want to be a missionary. I wanted to be that for the last couple of years, and God has put it in my heart. She says, but they just don't focus on that here. It's a great church. They don't focus on it. I said, well, you know what? Don't leave the church. Why don't you just go visit a couple other churches, see maybe there's a possibility for to be a missionary there. Or I'm sure the pastor won't mind. You can transition over. No, I can't do that. Why? It's in your heart. Something new for you. I'm too loyal to the pastor. Well, I hope we're loyal to Drew and we want to stay with him, right? But she was there for 10 years. The truth of the matter is it wasn't about being loyal to the pastor. She was just comfortable there. She liked the old times there, and she didn't want to move off of that. Even though God had a new thing for a new wine for her, she wanted to stick with the old wineskins. Okay, so let me ask you this question, just like my pastor asked me. What is God speaking to you about today? What is he doing in your life? Where is he asking you to forget the former and go on to the new thing? Where is God asking you to discard the old wineskin and drink from the new wine he has for you? Let's talk about relationships. We talk a little bit about married and singles. I've never been married, so anybody who's been married a day could teach me a lot here. But study, God speaks to me. I have a lot of married friends. This is the way it could work out. You see a guy in church. Hey, how you doing? How's your marriage? Oh, it's great. Praise God. I have a great wife, great kids. Everything is great. And it is a good marriage, especially with everything is the way he wants it. The wife is managing the finances the way you want it. The kids are being taken care of the way you want it. The house is running the way you want it. Everything, your wife relates to people, has company over where and when you want it. But if something changes a little bit, oh, wait a minute, you can't do that. Hey, what's going on here? See. Gary Smalley says that men have an issue with control. And God would say, you know what? I love you. I understand. You're a man, and that's part maybe your history. Your dad was like that. But I'm asking you to give up that old wineskin. I want you to go a new way. Let me be in control. Let your wife or your husband be who I call them to be. Even if it means changing some things, the apple cart, it's good, and she could grow, and it'll be good for you. You know, I have a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's in business, and he went with counseling with his wife, and he told us it would be about his wife. The counselor comes up to him and says, listen, you're a great businessman. You don't bring your work home, but you bring the way you relate to your wife and kids home like they were part of your employment. So what do you mean? Well, you communicate like they're one of your employees there. You're trying to run your house like a business. You need to relate to them like your wife and your son, not people working for you. And that's his new wine. That's the new wine God would have for him. You know, some of us who are married, we used to be lovey-dovey with our spouse. Now we don't spend a lot of time with them. We get caught up in our jobs. We get busy. I don't have kids. Kids are a gift from God. I want to be sensitive. But I know some of you maybe have young children. I can't spend time with my husband or my wife. I have to be with my kids all the time the next couple of years. And you know what? God's saying to you, I understand that, but your marriage is important. I can't trust anybody to take care of my kids. God's saying, pray to me. I'll give you somebody. You need to spend time with your wife. Go on a date once in a while. You know, I can't, Lord, I can't. God's saying, give up that old wineskin for me. That's a new wine. I want you to connect with your spouse. Some of us are the opposite. We want to be with our spouse all the time. A lot of times that's out of love, but sometimes it's because we don't want to feel abandoned. We've been abandoned in the past. We've been left alone. And the thought of my husband or wife going away into business for a weekend kills me. I can't take it. They're going to go out with their friends this night. What am I going to do? I'm going to be left alone. They're abandoning me. And God's saying, you know what? I understand where that's coming from. I love you. But you need to get rid of the former thing. It's going to be a process, but you need to let your husband go out with some of the guys. You need to let your wife be with some of the women. You know, I'll heal you from that, but otherwise you're going to squelch your spouse. You're going to crush them talking about a new one like a grape. And that would be the new wine God has for us, right? Okay, let's talk about singles a little bit. I want to talk about two things. First of all, let me say, God loves everyone. The Bible tells us that, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall live, right? Christ died for all of us. So whether you're a Christian here or you're seeking God or new, God loves everyone the same. There's no difference. However, in a romantic relationship, God says if you want to be in a relationship like that, you need to be spiritually on the same page. You have to be with somebody spiritually compatible. The Bible calls it being spiritually yoked with a believer. So that means if your history, your old wineskin, your former way has been going out with a person who's a good person, but they're not a believer, or they believe the same way you do, God says, I love that person, but I want you to go a new way. I want you to enter new wine. You need to be in a relationship with a person who believes the same way you do. I still love that other person. And you know what? It's not just Christians. Many religions believe the same way. I had a friend of mine who's a Christian. He married a Christian woman. He thought, you know, that's the thing we do. And he said, Daryl, it took me 7 years of marriage to know how important spiritual compatibility was. I took it for granted. The other thing about, and this is really something I came up with because of myself, about relationships, it applies to singles and maybe married too, is I was engaged once many years ago and I loved the woman, she loved me, and we broke up. And it took me many years, too many years to get over it. But I would reminisce about her. I would actually look for somebody who would be like her. Actually, there was a point I saw a woman who was like her. I got to know her. She looked like her. She spoke to her. I said, God, you resurrected her. It's Dr. Frankenstein bringing another Frankenstein to me. You know? And I was thinking about going out with her, but then I found that she wasn't right for me. But I would look for this woman. The way she talked, I reminisce about her a lot. But you know, some people do that. They want to be in a relationship, but they're trying to find somebody who they used to be with. Maybe they had good memories and they can't give them up. So they try to find that person, another person. And you know what? It could happen in marriages too. Let's say you were married to Jane, you got divorced, or you're widowed, and now you marry Mary. Both great people, but you know what? Sometimes you say, I love Mary, but I wish she was like Jane in this area. I wish she would do this like Jane. You might even blurt it out. Maybe not, but it happens. And God's saying, you know what? I understand that was part of your history. That was an important part of your history, but I need you to go on with the new wine, the new person I gave for you. And it's going to be good for you, but you have to put that in its proper perspective. We do that in other areas. We do that with jobs. You want to go back to old job, old house, former church. We may have been through a bitter divorce, suffered major loss in life, made a mistake, some big failure. I read a section of AM New York, you know, that paper, an article, Don't Live in the Past. What happened in the past needs to stay there. It's gone. There's nothing you can do about it other than learn from it. What happened yesterday doesn't define you. It does not determine what will happen to you today in the future. So let me ask you the question I asked before. What is God speaking to you today? Where is he asking you to give up the former and go on to the new thing? Where is God asking you? What area of life is he asking you? I want you to discard that old wineskin. I have new wine for you. It's good. It's going to taste good. Join me. You know, Isaiah, in the verse we read, it talks about making a stream in the desert, streams in a wasteland. How many of you here have ever felt dry, that God wasn't speaking to you, that God's not moving, that he's not doing anything in your life? Have you felt that? I feel that sometimes, right? I want to encourage you. That could be preparation time. That could be time God's preparing you for something new and exciting in your life. So stay with it. My sister recently told me, you know, Daryl, I feel like I'm in transition mode. God's going to do something new. I don't know what it is. I'm struggling, but I'm waiting on him, and I'm trusting on him. And this whole thing about new wine and old wineskins, I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about a couple of areas. Thoughts. You know, I'm still stuck in the form of the old wineskins with my angry thoughts. One of the first Christian books I read was The Angry Man. A lot of men struggle with anger. And I still enjoy sometimes getting angry with people. It's still in my mind. Some of us struggle with lust. It's okay to get a thought about a person, but to carry on with it and see it through, that's not good. Some of us let fear, and I struggle with, overwhelm us. Fearful thoughts, and that consumes us, and that's from the past. And God's saying, you know what? I know I love you. I want you to think different thoughts. I want you to trust in me. You know, Philippians says, think on things that are good, praiseworthy, trustworthy, holy, pure. And that's what we need to do. Some of us are still caught up in bad habits, even believers. Addiction, smoking, drinking excessively, cursing. And we take it for granted, but God's saying, listen, I love you. It doesn't affect my love for you, but I have a new and better wine for you. I want you to shed those old wineskins. Some of us are in the Financial Peace University class. My father was a gambler. He got into $50,000 of debt. My mother was in and out of hospital. There was no money around. When I decided to move out from my mom, I moved on my own for two months. A third month, I wasn't a Christian. I said, listen, this is what I said. I got to shed those old wineskins. Forget the former thing. I have to come up with a budget for myself. Otherwise, I'm going to be dead. So I do it every month. Let's see. All right, I'll take it out here. Just give me 1 second. This is it in like scribe language or something. The first thing I do at the beginning of the year is I pray and I do my giving or tithing budget, okay? I do it in January and I stick to it for the year, okay? Then every paycheck, I scribble. Every paycheck. The money from my retirement goes automatically in. Then I have the money I give, let's say, to Hope or whatever, my tithes. Then I have my rent, cable, Con Ed, gym, my Verizon, landline. I try to put some savings in, short-term savings. Stuff for clothes I put to the side, a little money. So if I want to buy a shirt next month, I could do it. You see, Ranger tickets. Because I want to know where my money is. A lot of times, if you get paid, let's say you get paid $1,000, somebody would say, well, you know where that money's going? I have no idea. I might have spent $1,500 this paycheck. I have no idea. And God's saying, if that's your old way, I have a new thing. I want you to be good stewards of your money. You need to do a budget for yourself. You need to plan. I'm going on this vacation. I have the cash. I didn't want to put in my credit card and think about it later when I'm going to get the money. I had to plan for it and budget for it, and I have. I'm not boasting, but that's the way we need to work with our money. Okay. All right. Okay. There's a couple of keys I have for you to remember in this process of going from the old to the new. We need to trust that God, if he's inviting us to go to somewhere new, change, go a new way, that he's going to meet us and he's going to help us. We tend to think of short-term, the short-term pain of making adjustments. I do. I don't want to go through the pain of a new thing. God thinks of long-term, eternal. And if we follow God, it's going to work out, but we have to go through that adjustment period. We need to give ourselves grace when we go through these adjustment periods. And if we're married or we have kids or a relationship, we need to give the other person grace. Some of you were recently married or will be married, you know, and you're all excited, and it's from God. And you get married and say, wait a minute. I saw this person 3-4 times a week. Now it's 24/7? I didn't know about that. And it's an adjustment period. It might take 3-6 months, a year, and it's okay, but you need to give each other grace. What about some of us who've recently had additions to the family or will have? That's a change. It's a gift from God, a child. But you know what? It's an adjustment period. Oh, I can't eat out as much. We're not going to have as much room. I can't sleep as much. I won't be able to go out with my husband as much. Yes. But it's an adjustment, and it's good. Long term is going to be great, but we need to give ourselves that adjustment period. Same with new job, new ministry. I also want to talk about the way God comes to us, the way God comes to us in our relationships and our relationship with him. I don't know if you know Yusuf. He's a great worship leader. I know him. I spoke with him a couple of months ago, and he said, you know what? He says, I hate reading the Bible right now. I says, what? He says, I wish I would read it anew. What do you mean? He says, well, I'm so conditioned by my culture, by my past teachings, by my old past. It's all good, but I can't allow God to come in a fresh new way. I'm feeling stale. He says, what I need is, God, give me a fresh revelation of your word. And maybe some of us have stopped reading the Bible. You know why? We love God, but we feel stale, we feel staid, and we need to ask God, God, give me a fresh revelation of your word. Give me some excitement. Help me to flow with you again in that way. We've been talking about different changes that God may want to do, but I think for some of us, in the future, God's going to come through with a big new thing, a big vat of wine. And he's going to join us. He's going to invite us to make a major change. And the question is, are we going to go with him? Adoption. I have some friends who love the Lord, would be involved in missions, take vacations. And a couple years ago, they felt God asked them to adopt. And at first, they said no. God had to wrestle them to ground. And finally, they did. And now it's a blessing. They want to adopt another kid, but it took a process. It could be taking someone in. When I first became a Christian, I said, God, if you want me to take one person, I'll take in 5 people. I'll take in dogs. I'll take in stray cats. I'll take in squirrels. I'll take in a water bug. I'll take whatever you want, God. I'll do. Now, when he says, Daryl, could you get up Saturday morning and just go minister to that person? What? Are you kidding? 3 Stooges are on. I haven't had my cup of coffee. I need my sleep. I'll do it later. No? It may be taking someone in. It may be a move to San Francisco or Europe to serve God. He may be calling you. You may be making good money in a secular job, and he may call you into a ministry job paying half of it. Will you do it? Will you follow God? He'll be there with you. The question is, are we going to go with the new way he has for us? Some people, a big change is somebody asking to host a home group. They asked me to host a home group years ago. I didn't want to do it because I wanted to be on my own. I said no, and finally I said yes, and it was a blessing. And then a year and a half of the group stopped. I was very sad. But maybe God's going to ask you to do that. In my old church, I was one of the leaders, and we liked the way things were. We liked the teaching. We liked the ministries. We liked the leadership team. We all love God. And then one day, God came to us and asked us to do a major change. He's going to do a new thing, a new wine. He wants us to expand our church, expand ministries, to buy a building. We were shaken up by it. We didn't want this. And all of us who love God, in human terms, we wanted to say no. We did for a while. But then God had to wrestle us to the ground. And finally, we went with the way God had for us to this new thing, and it turned out well, but we wanted the status quo. And guess where else is going to happen? Right here at Hope Church. I love Hope Church. Drew loves it the way it is. The leadership team loves it. You love the way it is. We love to know each other. And the value and everything else is going to stay the same, right? But God's going to do new things. New people will be coming in. There's going to be new ministries. There might be church plants in the future. We might grow. And it's going to be an adjustment period. It's going to be agita. The question is, are we going to say yes to God? Are we going to go with the new way he has for us? It's part of his plan. He wants to expand his kingdom. And it's going to involve changes for us. And we all have to go. Some of us can't say no. We all have to go the way God has for us. Are we going to do it? Or are we going to say yes to him? And that's the question we're going to have to ask ourselves. And, you know, we've already had some changes. Vivian, who we love, she left to go overseas as a missionary. We're going to miss her. We have Laura sitting here. She's a great woman. She's been with us, and God's got a new thing for her. At the end of the month, she'll be going to Pennsylvania, and it's going to be great, but it's going to be an adjustment for her. Just like the co-op is going to be an adjustment for me, but it's a good thing. Joe Lagarino is going to be going to Duke in August, and we're going to miss him too. And God's going to bring new people in, and that's just the way life is. I want Laura to stay, but God's got a different plan for her. I just have two more things, and then we'll wind up. I talked about how we resist change, how we want to focus on the former. We reminisce. We want to keep the things we have, right? I talked about a lot of examples, but the big example is in the Bible. In Matthew, we talked about the old wineskins and the new wine, Jesus, right? The old wineskins, the Pharisees. They had their structure. They had their sets of rules in place. They had their way of doing things, and it worked for them, right? Earning their self-righteousness before God. Jesus comes. He's the new wine. He comes a new way. And the Pharisees say, wait a minute, Jesus. You're telling us to forget the former? You want us to give up our old wineskins? Oh, no. We have a set structure in place, a set way of doing things, and we're going to keep it. We're going to throw you in jail. We'll throw you out of town. And if worse comes to worse, we'll have to get you killed. You see, God's plan of salvation was for Jesus to die for our sins, and it was great. But in human terms, the reason Jesus was killed because he tried to buck the system. He had something new for us, but the Pharisees and religious leaders wanted to keep it the way it was. So you see how powerful that is. Did you see how the human condition goes against the new things God has for us? I know I do. Last thing I want to talk about on the handout, one of the things we said about is that we have certain things or certain ways of doing that may be good or not, but we want to keep them. And even though God may tell us to go a new way, there's an old sci-fi show, and I spoke about it in my home group a couple of months ago, and I want to talk about this particular episode because it kind of sums it for us. There was a guy, he was a robber. He was robbing a store, and the cops chase him, and they shoot him. He dies. Gets up, and he sees this big angel-type guy, white suit, and he says, come on, get up. Am I okay? Yeah. All I remember, I was running, and am I dead? Yes, you are, but you're okay. This place is great. It must be heaven. I go, so let me get you a new suit. Oh, great. I always wanted a new suit. What else? Oh, give me a nice lobster dinner steak, and he gives him that. Oh, I always want to be around beautiful women. He gives him 10 beautiful women. Oh, I've always wanted to have a chauffeur. He gives him a chauffeur. He goes gambling. He wins all this money, comes back. He's dancing with a woman. He's happy. Then goes more buying stuff, dancing with women, eating, or he's happy. And he says, you know what? I must have done some good things in life. And this so-called angel says, let's go to the Hall of Records and I'll show you. When I was 4 years old, he spat in a kid's face in class. He poked the kid's eye out with a pencil. He beat a kid up when he was 10. He robbed a store when he was 15. He almost killed somebody when he was 23. He said, wow, this guy upstairs must love me for all this. And the other guy goes, yeah. So he comes back, and everything is going his way, and he shoots pool, and all the balls go in. And he starts shaking his head. And he says, Jones, come here, the white angel. Listen, this is all good. I'm getting everything I want. But is there a chance that something different can happen? Is there a chance that something new could happen? He said, what do you mean? Is there a chance that I won't get what I want? I'm getting bored getting everything I want. He says, well, I could change it to be like that. No. I want to be natural. He says, sir, I can't do that. I'm giving you everything you want. He says, if I stay here getting everything I want, another minute, I'm going to go nuts. Let me speak to the guy upstairs. I can't do that. All right. Get me out of here. Get me out of heaven. You got to get me out of heaven. I got to go to the other place. I don't care how bad it is. And then I go, sir, I got bad news for you. Who said anything about heaven? You said anything about heaven. This is the other place. And the guy had a shocking look on his face. And the narrator comes. This is Mr. Joe Smith, who's lived his life to get everything he's ever wanted. Now he has it, and he's going to have to stay with it for all of eternity. You see, this is about the here and now. God is inviting us with him to the new wine, to give up the former, to go to the new wineskins. And it involves change, and we resist it. I resist it, but God's saying, come with me. I have something good for you. I have a new way for you. It's an acquired adjustment. I will take you there. Let's close up. I'll ask those questions again. What is God speaking to you today? Where is God asking you to give up the former things and go to the new thing? Where is God asking you, what area of your life is he asking you to discard the old wineskins and go with the new wine he has for you? Taste and see it's good. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this word. I have a rough time making changes, going on to the new things, even if it's better for me, but I think my brothers and sisters do too. Give us the grace, Lord, to go into the new ways you have for us, a new direction, and to make the changes you have for your glory, for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.